One in four children under the age of 18 are at risk of poverty in Europe today. That is over 20 million children. Many of them live their lives uncertain of where their next meal will come from and lack adequate clothing, shelter, basic health care, and the tools necessary for a quality education. While these children and their families struggle daily to fill their physical needs, the vast majority do so completely unaware of their greatest need, a relationship with Jesus. At Manna Worldwide, we are on a mission to rescue children from the grip of poverty. Since 2001, Manna has partnered with missionaries, pastors, and local churches all over the world to meet the physical needs of children so we can build bridges of trust that will enable us to share the hope found in Jesus and connect them and their families with the local church. This mission has driven Manna's expanded reach in Europe to 16 current projects in the countries of Romania, Ukraine, Albania, and Greece. From nutrition centers to orphanages and after-school programs to refugee relief initiatives, each one of these projects is impacting the lives of children and their families every day. The needs in Europe are great, and the opportunities are endless. Will you join us in providing hope for the future and hope for eternity to children and their families living in Europe?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to come back. Those of you that remember, I was here in May on a Sunday night, so I appreciate you allowing me to come back. This time, I did bring my family, so they're sitting over here. I am a little bit more behaved when they are here, so I will try to do good this morning. If you remember, when I was back in May, I talked to you a little bit about what was going on in Italy. We had spent our last 11 years in Italy. We've been missionaries for 15. And so we finally got a church going, finally had it able to be turned over this past, spring? So it's a long time coming, but praise God that there is a church right now in Florence, Italy, because the faithful work, not just ourselves, but the many people that have poured into it, the other missionaries that we had worked with, and it was such a cool thing that whenever we walked away, that we could say there is a church in Florence, and that is what the goal is, right? Yeah. And really, for the last 11 years, God has been preparing us and has been allowing us to gain insight and wisdom into what Europe looks like. And we were praying, what's next, right? Because it took 11 years of our work. It took another three or four of another missionary who started the church before we showed up. So if you really look at it, it was like almost 15 years of work to plant one church in Europe. That's a lot of time, right? In order to be able to finally turn it over. And honestly, that church is going to go and going to continue to need more work and more prayer. And it's amazing what God is doing, but it takes such a long time. And so we pray to like, God, what are you doing? How can we make this process faster? How do we expand our outreach? How do we expand our influence? And he brought us to this other missions agency called Manna Worldwide. And when I first heard about Manna Worldwide, I was like, what do they do? And it really comes down to a basic, simple analogy. And I'm going to give you this analogy, and that's what we'll be trying to do over in Europe. But whenever, anybody single in here? No single people in here? There's a few single people. Okay, so what you need to do, it's been a long time since I've been single, but what you need to do when you're single is when you go approach a girl, you have to have a reason to go talk to the girl. You cannot just walk up to her and say, hi, I'm Scott. Will you want to spend time with me? The answer emphatically is always no. I don't know why, but you have to have a reason to go to her. So like maybe if you showed up to church and you went and you grabbed a cup of coffee and like, look, I brought you a cup of coffee, right? Now there is a reason for you to actually be talking to her. And maybe you can say, would you like to share this coffee with me, right? So there's a reason. There is a need. And that need is being met. The ultimate goal is not to have a cup of coffee with her. The ultimate goal is for marriage, is for, you know, a healthy relationship under God. That's the ultimate goal, right? But you have to have a conduit to get there. You just can't walk up to a girl. The answer is always no. You have to say, look, I have a fat wallet or something. I don't know what it takes. I have been married for 18 years, and so I don't know what it took to get her to say yes. I think it was a pity party that she had. She goes, well, I lost a bet. That's what she always tells me. I lost a bet. But there's something that you need to take. There's a reason, there's a goal, and there is a way to get there. And honestly, when I was looking at your bulletin, I was kind of reading through some of these and listening to John speak, and you have a kickoff carnival. And then underneath it, you have a bounce house, you have games, prizes, snacks, and then a Bible lesson. What do you have? You have a need for community. You have a need to entertain the kids. Is the purpose of the church to have a bounce house? No. Do we as adults love bounce houses? Yes. Probably too much. We break legs when we do them. But ultimately, what we love more is we love kids being discipled and learning scripture. But the way to get them to learn scripture is there's a conduit. That conduit is that bounce house. That conduit is the games. It's the hot dog. It's the cup of coffee that you bring. When I was looking in Europe and said, how can we bring Jesus to more and more families? How can we share the love of God? How could we plant more churches? Man of Worldwide says, I have a way to do it. We're going to have a feeding center where we go into the country of Romania, and there was a group of people, the Roma people, who are a displaced people, the nomads, the gypsies of Europe. It says they have no food, they have no medical care. We're going to provide these things so the missionaries that are there can share the gospel. And I said, God, that's amazing. That's amazing. So my sphere of influence went from one church to immediately 18 different churches. How cool is that? So when we head back, this is our first time that we get to openly pronounce and openly say that we are new Manna Worldwide missionaries. And a lot of times it's like, what does that look like? It looks like, for me, working with missionaries over in Romania, over in Greece, over in Ukraine, over in Albania, to be able to work on orphanages, feeding centers, educational centers, leadership training, refugee camps, to be able to share the gospel. And let me give you one example that is really, really cool, because this is what happened. There was a feeding center in the country of Albania. Anybody ever heard of Albania? Oh, there's a few people. I'm not the smartest person, so when I went to Italy, there one guy came from, he goes, yeah, I'm from Albania. I said, you're from where? Is that in Africa? Actually, it's in Europe. I didn't know this. And so as we're talking, and I find out that the country of Albania is a predominantly Muslim country. And so there is a need of refugees, and there's a need of food. So Manna opened up a feeding center, and they started feeding Muslims, families, kids. One after another, they came and got food. Week after week, they came and got food. The missionary said, okay, it's time for us to start a church. Well, the problem is you can't start a church in Albania. They did anyway. And the government shut them down. The parents of these kids went to the mayor of that area and said, if you don't allow them to have their church, they will stop feeding our kids, because they can't be here anymore. So the Muslim parents went on behalf of the Christian Baptist church to stay open. You know the way to reach kids and the way to reach families is you find their need. And it's been so cool that we're able to see this happen. So as we start off, we're going to open the idea is there's one director over in Manna now. At the next couple of years, I'm going to learn kind of how they do things, how they work, how I can work with these different missionaries. And then the idea is to move into Western Europe. I don't know if anybody's heard, but there is a huge mass immigration process that is going on in Europe right now. We live that in Italy. We saw that in Italy. There is a need. And if we can fill those needs, we have a reason to share the gospel. This morning, if you have any questions about what we're doing, what we plan on doing, please find me, find my wife afterwards. We'd love to answer any questions. And honestly, we probably have more questions than you do. So, because we're pretty new at this, but we're excited to get started. I officially start the new mission work October 1st. So we're really, really excited about that. We've been ecstatic for your partnership for the last, I don't know, almost 12, 13 years. It's been so good, so great that you guys have been behind us. Not only that, not all churches are like this. We have a good connection with Pastor John that we can call when there's an issue or there's something that we're going on, or we just want to say, hey, how you doing? Or I get to talk about how the Avalanche win and the Red Wings, I don't know what they do anymore, but they don't win. So when I need to have those conversations, I love that I can pick up a phone call and talk to John. So I appreciate that. This morning, I want us to open up our Bibles. We're going to turn to John chapter 6, because what we see manna does is pretty scriptural. In fact, we kind of see exactly what Jesus does, is presenting that need. John chapter 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the other side of the mountain, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, thank you for providing the increase. Thank you for taking the little bit that we have to offer and providing the increase. We see it over and over and over again. You are a great God. You are a miraculous God. You are a wonderful God. God, this morning, those of us that are broken, those of us that are hurting, those of us that maybe we're struggling ourselves to understand where those next five pieces of the loaves are coming from, I pray that you not only give us the increase, that you meet our physical needs, God, but ultimately you meet our spiritual need, that you fill that void in our life, that we would want you more than anything else. Speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm sorry, is there, side note, is there a way, there's a lot of echo back here, and I'm not normally like that guy, but for some reason, I just hear myself, and that's not so good. Okay, so if we've all heard this story, right? Most of us, if you've been in church, you've heard the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe even if you haven't been in church, perfect, you're great. Maybe not, I don't know. You're like, I haven't touched any buttons. anyway, if you've been in church, you've heard the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, and we all always know that, like, there's 5,000 men, there's families behind them, there's women behind them, there's children. So there's a lot of people that Jesus says that there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what God can do, he gives the increase. But in order for us to kind of understand where this all started, we need to go back and see the first verse. First verse says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed over to the far of the shore of Galilee. Sometime after this. So sometime after what? What had just happened? Let's turn back and look at John chapter 5. And we see that there is the pool of Bethesda, right? Where there is a crippled man laying there, waiting to be thrown into the lake, because into the pool. Because as soon as that the waters were stirred, the first person that would go in would come up and they were healed. And here is this man waiting. It says, Jesus walks by and says, what are you doing? He's like, nobody, I have no relationships, I have no friends, I can't get in the pool fast enough to be healed. I have a need, my need is physical healing. And Jesus says, in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately man was made whole and took up the bed and walked away. On the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 14, after Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing will come unto thee. Jesus only has the power to heal. Amen. Jesus only has the power to heal. So he walks by. He sees this man who's desperate, will do anything, is hoping to be thrown the first one into this pool. And maybe I'll be healed from this. He had a need. And Jesus walks by and says, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Now the problem is, what he did this was, he did this on the Sabbath. Now did he do this on purpose? Probably. He used to do things a lot on the Sabbath, knowing that he was going to get in trouble for it. He kind of would rock the boat a little bit, right? And the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of that day, did not like the rocking of the boat, did not like when trouble came, and said, wait a second, you can't work on the Sabbath. He goes, wait, man, I just healed somebody. What is the problem? You shouldn't work. And not only should you not work on the Sabbath, but Jesus claimed equality with God. Amen. He said, I am the Father's Son. I am God himself. And they had a huge problem with this. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. If you ever hear anybody claim that Jesus is not God, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus was more than a man. Jesus was more than a prophet. Jesus was more than a morality teacher. He was God himself. So when God walked by a man, he saw the need. He saw the just the brokenness. He says, get up and walk. That was the need. But he goes a little bit further on, right? He has another conversation. Walk away from your sin. Do a 180 from your sin. He saw a need, provided for that need, gave him the gospel. Turn around. Some of you, you need that this morning, right? Some of you, that is your story that you need to hear. I need to hear that myself. Here is a need. Maybe God's blessing your life. God has blessed my life tremendously. And yet, every now and again, there's that moment that I need him to say, turn from your sin. and walk back toward me. In fact, we all need that, right? Maybe some of you came here this morning like, I'm just going to play a good part. And I'm just going to look like a good Christian. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to check my box off for church. And I'm saying, I'm good, right? But what you really need is you need an encounter with Jesus. You need him to heal you. You need to say, this is what I'm doing. It's wrong. And I'm going to walk away and I'm going to give my whole life to him. I'm going to turn away from my sin. Maybe he's meeting a need for you. You're like, thank you, God. And he's showing you that he is real. He's showing you that he is God. And he controls everything. He controls the universe. He controls what happens. He's meeting your needs. He not only when he met your needs, he built a bridge so he can share his truth with you. That's exactly what we see going on here. In fact, that's one of the core tenets of Manna Worldwide, is meeting needs. I think, do we have the next slide or so? Maybe. Yes, there we go. Meeting needs, building the bridges, and share the gospel. Share who Jesus is. This is exactly what we do. If we see a need, whether it's a feeding center, whether it's an orphanage, whether it's another church being built, an educational center, meeting the needs. When you meet somebody's needs, you can build a bridge. When you give them community, when you feed a little kid a hot dog, all of a sudden you can talk all day long who Jesus is. One, it's a lot easier because they have something in their mouth, so they're not talking back, and so they have to hear. But here's the thing. How many people have come to the church because the church cared for their kids? I mean, how great when I look out and I hear, because I've been to this church before in the past. 75 kids signed up to start. Think about that. That's 75 families. Well, maybe there's two kids in each one, so I'll give you 70 families. Only five of them have two kids. Oh, math is not my specialty. We walked by for the last 11 years, Italians. And what we did was the one thing that every Italian needed was a job. They needed to find some way to make money to support their family. I have one of my good friends over there who is an engineer. As an engineer, any engineers in here? Oh, a couple of us, right? Engineers, they make good money. If you're doing it right, right? That's like a six-figure plus salary, right? I don't know. My friend Davide over there, he was making less than $2,000 a month. As an engineer, working for GE, building computer programs, computer engineer, building computer programs for the hospital there, making less than $2,000 a month. And that was a great job. So what the most Italians needed was a way to get a good job, and a way to make more money to actually support their family. By the way, just to put that in perspective, when we were over there, our rent was $1,500 or euro a month. So if rent is here and he was only making 500 more than that, think about what he lived on. It was hard. That's why until they're 40, they live with their parents because they can't afford to get out. So meeting a need. Our church, we had an English-based church because every Italian, you know what they needed? They needed to learn how to speak English in order to get a better job. So we met a need. We built that bridge so we could share the gospel. That's exactly what we did. Some of the ways, and if we have that next slide, some of the ways that Manna Worldwide share the gospel, nutrition centers, orphanages, clean water, medical centers, educational centers, youth camps, retreats, and leadership training. And if you look at all of those things, like those things are good to do, right? Like those are just very positive things to do.
In fact, it'd be really cool if you guys had a car show. By the way, a little bit upset the fact the car show is not this weekend. So just throwing that out there. But it'd be really cool if you could have a car show every single weekend. But it does nothing if all you do is have a car show. It does nothing if all you do is have a bounce house. But if you look at the center of that circle, what do you see? You see the church. Everything Manna Worldwide does is focused helping the missionary, creating churches. Everything you guys do here is not so kids can have a fun bounce house, eat a fun hot dog. By the way, Chicago-style hot dogs, just throwing that out there. It's also, you can build the church. So you can build bridges to the church so you can share the gospel. Exactly what we're doing. It's so good to be a part of this. You have that next slide up there. In the country of Romania. Romania, so we had some good friends that were from Romania. We're like, oh, we're going to go visit, right? And because one of them had like a land out there and he had some property. We're going to go visit. And he goes, man, you don't want to go and even try to drive in Romania. He goes, there are no highways. I'm like, no, Romania, it's in Europe. Like, it's a modern country. He goes, well, is it? He was looking at Romania. He goes, that'll tear your car up. You don't want to drive your car. You want to rent a car just because the roads are that bad. Potholes everywhere. There are no highways. Destruction. A lot of those pictures that you saw in that video were from Romania. Broken down houses. When I was younger, when I was a kid, oh my, when I was like 19 years old, it feels like being a kid back then. I went to Bogota, Colombia. And I saw poverty for the first time. I saw a city that was based on trailers that just stacked on top of each other. When I seen the pictures of Romania, I see the same destruction. Some of the ways that these families live, I just see destruction. It's allowed Manna to build 8 nutrition centers, 4 orphan care facilities, currently planting 2 churches inside Romania. There's one camp. There's a medical center that just started. These are some cool things that God is using to share his gospel. The Roma people are, I talked a little bit about them already. See, the Romanians themselves, their heritage comes from Romans. Some 2,000 years ago, when they went over, they conquered every city, they kind of conquered Europe. The Romanian heritage comes from that Latin-based culture. The Roma people, they come from more of an Indian-based culture. They've been enslaved. That's what brought them there, in slavery. They've been persecuted. They've been held down. Throughout the communistic rule of Romania, they weren't allowed to get good jobs. They weren't allowed to work. They were brought down. And so now what we see is that we see a huge need in a country that ever since it joined the EU in 2007, that they're making strides to do better. But this people group are so displaced. They're really the ones that are looked down all across Europe. If you've been to Europe and you see somebody begging for money, chances are they're part of the Roma people. Manna Worldwide gets to go in and share the gospel with a group of people that oftentimes are displaced, oftentimes are looked down upon, are cast out, looked at as a nuisance. Currently, look at all the work that they're doing, building 2 churches. Every single nutrition center has a church. This could not happen. It could not happen without churches like you partnering with them. In fact, as we go on in our story, verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. there was plenty of grass in that space. I always find that phrase a little bit funny. Like, we have an abundance amount of space. We have an abundance amount of area that we can work with. So just sit down. And they sat down, about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to them, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets and pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come to the world." Jesus shows his power. Jesus looks around and says, "I have a little. I have a little boy's lunch. Prayed over it and gave it out to the people." And we think of this. Say, "God, what can you do with a little? What can he do with the big, massive city of Imlay City? What can he do?" You think, "Oh, maybe not much. We're not like a large church. We don't have a large area in Washington, D.C. We're not in Detroit. Like, what we could do if we were in Detroit, right? There's needs in Detroit. We're here. God wants to do big things. God can take the smallest things and make them massive if we allow him. He can take that $25 that you give to missions and he can blow that up and do things that you can't even imagine. I know this because he took a small boy from outside Chicago. And I say small because I graduated high school at 115 pounds, brag. And my big plans for my life was I had a job after high school making $15 an hour driving forklifts. And I was like, "I'm going to make all kinds of money." I was going to be rich at $15 an hour. Never would have thought that I would have been anywhere near Europe. And in fact, my life, right there around Chicago. I really didn't have any desire to leave. Probably a little bit scared to leave. And now the Lord has brought me to 17 different countries. How cool is that? How cool is it that he can use anybody? I grew up in fact, I was just talking to my mom about this. I had a speech impediment, so I would have to stand at the edge of the hallway in our double-wide trailer, and I would have, because I was afraid of what I would say and afraid of speaking, that she would make me stand at the back of the hallway in the double-wide, and I'd have to yell everything out to my mom just to make sure she heard me. So if I wanted a bowl of cereal, I would have to not walk up to my mom like everybody else got to do in the family. I'd have to go to the edge of the hallway and say, "Mom, please make me cereal," right? And that's what I grew up as. And now, we were talking about this the other day. The fact is that I get to speak to churches. The kid who had to like stutter in the back of the trailer is up here now proclaiming who Jesus is. God can do anything. God can do anything. I don't know what your need is right now. Your need, you may think your biggest need is to pay off those medical bills. Maybe your biggest need is maybe not just to pay off the medical bills, but to find what's going on medically. For that disease to be cured. Maybe your biggest need right now is you're like, I need a new car. I need maybe my son or my daughter to pick up a phone and call me. Maybe that's your biggest need. Maybe your biggest need is nutrition. Maybe it's direction. Maybe it's friendship. Maybe it's community. You may think those are your biggest needs. You may think that the people group we're about ready to go to, their biggest need is food and financing, or the Italians was English. Those aren't their biggest needs. Those aren't your biggest needs. Those aren't my biggest needs. Our biggest need is Jesus. But it's amazing how he can work through our needs and show us who he is. Maybe today that's you. Maybe you've seen his power. Maybe you're still waiting to see his power. But I promise you something. He's moving in your life. He does not promise us fortunes. He doesn't promise us fame. He doesn't promise us to have good looks. He doesn't promise us anything other than he loves us and he's here for us. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we are a broken people at times. Sure, we look around and we have things put together. We look around and we see that life is great around us and we look beautiful on the outside, but God, we are broken on the inside. The things of this world beat us down. We look and we act like we have it together, God, but we are broken. God, we ask that. And there's somebody in here today that whatever their need is, that you would supply their need, that you would show who you are, and God, that you would show them ultimately their need of you, that you would show them their need of a Savior, their need for God to come and walk this earth, to live the life that we live today. But God, you live perfectly. You showed us an example. You show us how to live. God, that you would guide and direct, you pull your Holy Spirit to pull us closer to you. God, those of us that are still broken, those of us in here that are needing you, that you would press your Son on them today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd go ahead and stand to your feet, we're going to have a time of response, a time of invitation this morning. And whatever the Lord is doing in your life, we want to give you this opportunity to respond. And so maybe that's praying there in your seats and surrendering that need that you perceive as a need to the Lord, seeking his wisdom and guidance, asking and expressing your dependence upon him. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you want to bend a knee. Say, Lord, I need to come to know you this morning. I need to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Surrender. Maybe it's time you did that 180, that you turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Maybe it's for the first time you want to come and receive Christ, and you would do that this morning there in your seats or at the altar. But maybe you're a Christian here today and you've been wandering that wrong direction. We can all do it. But maybe you would turn this morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you that you love me in spite of me. Thank you that you're faithful when I'm unfaithful. I turn from that and I turn back to you. I'm so thankful that God can do great things with even a little. Amen. He is faithful. And a little in his hands is great. And so maybe you need to surrender this morning. Maybe you hear this. You hear about missions and the need overseas, and whether it's Romania, wherever it may be. I hope it does a couple things. I hope it draws you to pray for these guys, to pray for the Patels as God leads them and guides them. As they continue to minister, that God will just bless that ministry and see great fruit from that. But maybe you're here today and you'd say, Lord, there is a tug on my heart that I need to maybe go. I need to surrender to full-time missions. I need to be willing to go. You don't know where, you don't know what, but there's that pull. Maybe you would surrender this morning and say, Lord, I don't need to know all the details, but I do want to trust you. And if you're calling me to missions, I pray that I'd surrender today. and take the steps I need to take to get on the field. Whatever God is doing, we want to encourage you to respond this morning as we sing out a song of praise this morning. Let's sing.